Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, this is Carly on the Blog Talk Network. Today we have an awesome guest, and I am so excited. I'm putting Nadia on. Hey, Nadia.
Hi, Carly. How are you?
Can you read my message in Messenger? Because I want to make sure, I pick up on the right call.
Sure. Do you have a private number there?
No.
No. Okay. Hold on.
He said it should be a 310. If not, it's a private
Okay. number. Okay, well, I guess he's not here yet unless, because there's one on the switchboard that is from California, so maybe he did it from another number. So I'm gonna just try and see.
Yeah, see if that's him.
Yeah. Hi, you on there?
Hi, it's Betty Jean.
Okay, Betty Jean. Okay, we were just making because we are waiting for calling, and I just didn't want
I'm the other number from California.
You, him. So yeah, and don't worry, Betty Jean, you will be one of the first people to talk to him. So don't worry.
Okay, thank you. No problem.
I will put you back on hold. So yes, we are just waiting on our guest. Yes. And, you know, we have a pretty exciting lineup this week, actually, you guys. I mean, even though we have most morning interviews or late afternoon interviews this week, that means by Friday night, we can sleep. And, I'm being really funny right now. Hold on, I'm gonna take this call too. Just in case, okay.
That
would not be him. Okay. No. I love waiting, don't you?
Yes.
You know, I gotta say, you guys, Carly went to the bad side this morning. And I went grocery shopping before this, so yes, I'm organized, maybe a little. And, okay, the donut case was calling my name. It said, Carly, come over here. It said, Carly, you need a donut. And, like, I didn't want to, you know, not cooperate with the donut case. So I got a maple ball, and now I'm feeling so guilty over it. So, yeah, I'm feeling just a little guilty over it. But it tastes so good. If you guys never have maple balls, oh, my God, you guys are missing out. I mean, Nadia, you've had them, right?
Huh?
You've never
what?
Had a maple ball.
A maple ball?
No, a maple ball, a donut. It's called a
maple.
A maple
donut, yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. You know, those are addicting, all I gotta say. And what because I knew, you know, all I can never, you know, all I can never be perfect, Canon. I guess while we are waiting, what did you do this weekend?
Hold on a second.
Okay. So what I did this weekend is I caught up on some of my shows. And I worked a lot, but I'm still needing to really watch a lot of my shows this weekend. And also, if anyone showed me who won the Country Music Awards, anything, because I don't want to see anyone's timeline over it, I'm watching it this weekend. So if, so, you know, please do not tell me about,
I know that's what I'm saying, too.
What?
Yeah,
so if anyone shows me what happened, who got what award, if anyone shows me, they will be in timeout for the whole week. Oh, in the doghouse with me. And I don't think people, you want to be in the doghouse with me. Ask anyone who's ever been in the doghouse with me. Ask Bobby. Bobby would be a good one to ask. You just don't want to do that.
I don't know where he is. He's not on there yet?
No, I find it comical. No.
Did you find the number, though?
Hold on. I'm going to just see something for a moment. 917, you're on the air. 917?
No.
Okay. Well, if you want to talk to Paul, whenever he gets here, says, and I'm going to put 917 off this episode, please, look, you know, please press 1 whenever you want to talk to the guest, because I don't want to miss anyone. Right, Nadia?
Yes.
Okay, I'm bringing Veronica on because I'm bored.
Hi.
Oh, okay. Hey, B.
Hi, Carly. Hi, Nadia. How are you guys doing today?
Ask me
good
when
how
our
are you?
Show is over.
I'm hanging in there. Looking forward to speaking with Paul and speaking with you guys. You guys are awesome. You guys are awesome.
Well, oh, let's see. Now, this is really funny, you guys, because I was so organized and I woke up at 8 this morning, but I'm not a morning person.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to go grocery shopping before the show. And hold on, I'm going to see who this person is. The other person hung up. Okay. Okay, this is not funny. This is so funny.
It's okay, Carly. It's okay.
But I don't understand, like, how can he forget, like, when he's confirmed with me yesterday? That makes no sense.
Well, yeah, like, I had... It wasn't enough. I know that I put on the, you know, I put on Twitter and Facebook all day yesterday. I know I did, unless I'm losing my mind.
You did.
Okay, Veronica, you remember I did too, right?
Yes, you did. And I saw you and Nadia put it on Facebook and Twitter and all that yesterday, yeah.
Okay. I'm just making sure because, this hardly ever happens. And so when it does, I'm like, wait, I'm going crazy. So V, my little V, so what did you do this weekend?
I went to Nancy's event over the weekend, Nancy Lee Garrett's event over the weekend. It was very, very nice, and can't wait for the next one, and did some writing and studying, and I'm getting ready to pack up stuff to be leaving soon.
You know, I still think that, personally, I hate moving. Growing up, we moved, try Chino again, but my grandparents' extra house, or their one-two house.
Yeah.
And then we moved to the blue house in Oregon, but then we came up here, and we moved 8 times.
Oh, wow.
And once we moved 3 times in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, come on, it's so expensive in Seattle.
Yeah.
Hold on. 516, you on the air?
Marcos.
Oh, no, Marcos. Hi, Seattle. We'll put this way. Nadia, you tell him.
What happened?
Great.
He hasn't arrived yet.
Okay. No, yeah.
He's not on.
And we posted everything yesterday. And he's not on yet.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm not blaming you. I'm just telling you what's going on, buddy. My favorite power journalist. Okay.
Yeah,
it was
good job. Awesome.
And I just want to say every article you ever do, you rock. And personally, the last article you did for Daytime After Dark was sensational, and my mother loved it. She thought one of the best articles, and she loves that we are becoming more famous. So yeah. So
which one?
I've been
which
wanting
one?
To tell you that. Yeah.
Which one? Which article? Which article? I just told you.
The one with Kathleen Gotti that we did
on Friday.
Wait.
It's Gassy.
Was it
Friday? Okay.
Yeah, it was Friday.
Okay. It was Friday. Okay. So, but no, she has been reading your articles lately because I kind of got her turned on to, you know, your pages and everything. And she's like, oh, my gosh, you guys are mentioned a lot. I'm like, well, you know, he loves us. What can I say? Nadia and
exactly.
I and Veronica.
Hi, Marcos.
Hi, Nadia.
And,
hi, Marcos. How are you?
How are you?
Driving home.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God. Wait. You're driving and you're talking on the phone?
You know, it's hands-free. You know me.
Okay. You know what? Okay. Don't get in a call back because if you do, I'm going to blame myself. So, yeah, but we really enjoy all the covers.
You thank you, Marcos. Thank you.
Anytime.
Yeah, thank you.
And we wanted to tell you, because I don't think we brought this up yet, Veronica is another host. Yeah, on Daytime After Dark. And Bobby's still co-host, but the three of us, until Maggie, you know, even when Maggie comes back, we brought our full host and a co-host. So it's almost like The View. Meets daytime, meets country music, and we do country music, people. And we do anything. We will do any interviews at this point.
Hey, good to know.
Just tell people that. And all you covers on the Olympic people and the swimming people, wow.
That's
yes.
my thing, the Olympics.
Yes. And, okay, let me ask you something from a journalist standpoint.
Yes.
Because, well, I'm trying to fill up space. Okay, so do you think the Olympics will actually happen this year, even though we are still in, you know, still some states so, you know, COVID and... Not everyone is out of the hot zone. Do you believe that?
I think it's up in the air. Nobody knows yet 100%. Like, I don't even know. I don't know. It's a mess.
Yeah, because wasn't it supposed to be overseas? And so, because I'm buying my time, so the Summer Olympics are usually basketball, right, and swimming,
and
what other events?
Running, track and field.
Okay, track and field. Okay, well, I was just curious because sometimes I don't watch the whole Olympics. I just watch some of it, and remember, they live a life, people. We won't be, I mean, if the Olympics do happen, we will be missing, I think, 3 weeks of Days of Our Life. Marcus, I could be wrong, but I thought with that, like, because it preempts for the Olympics.
Yeah. I watch everything on my computer, so I never watch TV. I watch everything from my laptop.
Oh, see, I watched everything from my little cozy little bed with my TiVo and my, remote control and everything. So, yes, and you know, Nadia and I were wondering, you know, someday we would love to have you as a guest. And Daytime After Dark with all your power journalists and everyone you covered, I think that would be an awesome show. Why not?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, I have good news. Hold on.
And you
can you.
Say no to us because
Carly, can I talk,
so
please? Hello? Let me talk for 1 second. Okay. So I just got a message from Paul, and he said that he had a problem with his phone. It started an automatic update, so he's calling in a second, okay?
Oh,
awesome.
Good. Okay.
All right.
Okay, well, that's cool. And so, Marcus, I'm going to put you back on hold.
Thank you.
Marcus, after you, after me and Nadia interview him, unless do you have another interview to go to, by the way?
My next one's in 2 hours, so I'm good for now.
Okay, well, after Nadia and I are done, and then we will put you on.
Yeah, Nadia, message me, and I'll call right in, okay, hon?
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, so B, I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
And then don't worry, you know, we won't forget about you, you know. B is unforgettable. You know what, Nadia, off topic? I was listening to Unforgettable last night, and it dawned on me last night that Natalie Cole is dead.
I love that song. I sing that song all the time at karaoke with the DJ. I love that song.
I think it's a timeless song that will stay on the test of time. And I love when Nat recorded the song with her father in, like, the audio, because her dad died long before a long time ago. I don't know what year. But I think that, you know, that was one of the most epic songs of all time.
Yes.
I would point that out there. Yes. And, you know, I've been listening to Thompson's Grill for like a day. I've been like, I don't know, since we've entered this lockdown,
uh-huh.
I've been playing more music than ever. Does that keep my sanity? Well, what's left of my insanity? You know, I thought about this. You know, you could write a song, do the thing, do a time after dark intro, and you could be the one writing the lyrics and singing, because you are the only one that has a singing voice. Yes. I cannot sing and save my life. No, actually, that's not true. In the South, I sound like, you know, Whitney Houston or Ben Miller, but out of the South, I sound horrible. I miss karaoke. I really do. So do we have any other sub news while we are waiting?
Did you say, do we have any other news?
So do we have any sub news for people? You guys, I just want to warn you that the trial of, I can't think of his name right now, but the trial that yesterday took off the 8th, we are waiting for a verdict, and I'm just hoping the verdict will be, like, late afternoon, not doing our soaps. So, and I'm really worried about what the verdict will mean for this country, because I had nothing else to do yesterday but watch the trial. So, yes. Did you watch it at all, Nadia?
No.
No,
I don't watch that stuff. No.
Well, you are smarter than me on that, though.
No.
And No, it's really overwhelming.
Is he there yet?
I think when my phone updates at the wrong time.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
is he there yet?
No.
It should. Is there a private number there?
No, nothing. Is this all of us already that's on the six phone?
Okay, he said he should be calling in a second, so.
Nope, I'm... Yeah, it's a funny waiting. Yeah.
Let's see what he says.
Okay, nothing yet. You know, being in control of the switchboard almost gives colleagues some power that, oh, okay, you guys, amen. Okay, he's here. So, Nadia, you want to do the introduction?
Sure. So today, our guest is going to be Paul Telfer from Days of Our Lives. He plays Xander.
Yes, and I will put him on my now. Hey, Paul.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi,
Paul. How you doing? Hi, everybody. So sorry I'm late. I had a little bit of a technical issue, but it's resolved now and only 30 minutes late. Not too bad.
No, it's okay. So I'm colleague Nadia. So I usually ask the question first, and then she does, and then we will bring in our callers and our hosts and other co-hosts. So I just thought you wanted to know the format. So, Paul, oh, my gosh, I almost called you Xander. Sorry. So you joined Day Live a Life 5 years. You've been on Day Live a Life for 5 years, you know. And in the 5 years, I will give you credit that your character has grown so many different ways since you came on the canvas. I will give you that credit, but I will say that you are Days of a Life bad boy. You are the bad boy. I mean, and you have women fall in love with you, and then you lie to the women. I mean, come on. Okay. My only beef with you, is, you know, the baby twist was story that we never thought would, you know, end. I mean, it just seemed like a long time for the baby reveal to be out in the open, and, you know, we thought one baby died, but it was the other. And you kept that little secret, a big secret. And so how was it doing that?
Well, yeah, it went on and on, didn't it? I have to say that, you know, when I was asked to come on to do a year's contract on Days, that was the first, that storyline that you're describing was the first time I was on a one-year contract that looked like it had the potential to actually last the whole year. I'd been asked to do a year before and then not lasted the entire year and then come back as a recurring villain, essentially. But, yeah, of all the things I thought they'd have me doing on my first one-year contract, raising Eric's child as my own and then, you know, trying to rescue the child after it being kidnapped and then finding out that the child had cancer and, you know, helping support Sarah through all of that. And then only then revealing to the audience and to me, the actor, that I had in fact switched the babies. Yeah, it was, wasn't necessarily what I was, you know, I didn't have my fingers crossed hoping for a storyline like that. But I still enjoyed it, and it brought Lindsay and I a lot closer. And I think it showed a side of Xander to, mm-hmm. yeah, there was a part of the audience that already, there was a part of the audience that already enjoyed Xander, but the part that didn't, I think it allowed them to see him as a bit more human than he'd been previously and to sympathize with him a little bit. But yeah, it did go on a bit for sure. I agree.
Well, and you know, you're coming on as one of the biggest families to come into, in my opinion, is the Kyriakos family. I love the Kyriakos men, by the way. They have never disappointed me. And what is it like with you and Dawn Aniston working together? Because, you know, sometimes one says strangle you, at the same time love you. And at the same time, you know, you are the son of his brother that died, right? Oh, is your dad
apparently
alive?
I mean, that's what they keep saying. That's what they say. I'm Titus's brother, but we've never seen him. We've never seen Xander's mum. I think it could. I always think in the back of their head they might change Xander's history at some point. You know, it just feels like they've been very vague about who he actually is and what his lineage is. And there must be some reason. So I'm getting some. Can you hear me okay?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I thought it was awesome to bring you on as a Kyriakos because, and that bad Kyriakos, you know, for a while, because I think it was lacking the Kyriakos men, because right now you have Sunny off the canvas, and so it's really you and Brady and Dustin who are probably going to duke it out at some point. And
right.
So how is it with you becoming into a family that is already very established, been around since 1980, and, you know, you're working with one of the legends of actors of our time, Dawn Aniston, who's incredible, and also Maggie, Susan Rogers, how is that for you?
Well, I just felt really lucky to be slotted in with John Aniston straight away because, like you say, he's a, you know, legendary part of the show. He's also an exceptionally good actor, especially at this daytime genre. He's super efficient and economic in what he does, and that's one of the things that I'm trying to learn off of him because I tend to overthink and overtalk all the time. But, yeah, I much prefer being leveraged into a real family than having to be some kind of outsider who works their way into the show. It'd be a lot harder to become established on the show without that family connection. And so John is a lot of fun to work with just because he's so funny and gruff and exactly how Victor is in a lot of ways, although he's a lot friendlier and nicer in real life, but he still has that same demeanor. Whereas Suzanne is just an absolute shining light. She's so warm and sweet. I literally just woke up from having a dream about Suzanne this morning. I haven't seen her in a little while because of the work schedule, and I miss her. And I just had a little dream that I had coffee with her. So it's funny that you bring her up. But yeah, I absolutely love working with both of them. I guess, you know, if I had to choose a family to be a part of, I would choose the Kyriakos. I did a little online questionnaire around the anniversary and answered honestly, and the questionnaire was to determine which family you should belong to, and sure enough, it made me a Kyriakos. So I feel like I am well cast, although, like I say, I keep thinking they're going to change, that they're gonna bring some twist into Xander's, like, deep history to explain why Victor has such a problem with him. I mean, there must be some reason why he hated his brother so much that they've never explained. So I wonder if, like, Victor's lying, and maybe there's some other reason why Xander is such a problem for him. Like, there's, you know, maybe he's linked with Damaris somehow. Maybe he's got some other inconsistency in his background. But I'd love for them to work that out.
Well, yeah, I think there is so much I need to explore with your backstory that the audience doesn't know, because I think the audience forgot that Victor had two brothers. So when you came on, it was a good thing, but, you know, for the long-time viewers, they have to actually go back and remember that, oh, yeah, Victor did have brothers, and, you know, with that. And,
yeah,
you know, how is it working with two of my most favorite guys on the show, Molly Cook and Eric Mainstoff? They've both been on here. So I feel like we've been getting the curiousest men, and I love it. So how is it working first with Eric? Because you and Brady, I'm waiting for another fight. I'm waiting for you guys to get out of something, because you guys have this tension, but you guys act so great together. I mean, perfect together. And so how
thanks.
Is that?
I love, yeah, thanks. I love working with Eric. He's a lot of fun. He's very, very funny in real life. He's a prankster, an impressionist, obviously a fantastic singer as well. Like, he's a lot of fun to be around. Whereas, you know, which is fun because Xander and Brady hate each other. So we have a fun, like, relationship in real life. But then when we have scenes, we can just be so mean to each other. It's a lot of fun. I just wish I got more scenes with Wally. I love Wally Curris. He's
Actor. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
you guys all, I believe you tie into a Dustin and Brady and you, I think all of you guys are first cousins or second cousins. I'm not sure with if it's like the first cousin thing or the second. That's what I'm confused about, because Wally, you know, is Victor's nephew, kind of like you all. And so I think Victor's other brother came that was, you know, Dustin's dad. So, but we've never seen the two of them on screen, I don't think. But can you tell me if down the road that we will see Brady and Xander going out again? Because I don't know why, but I look forward to those days.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have we've just shot a bunch of stuff where we almost fight, so that'll you know, tickle your fancy a little bit without necessarily satisfying it. But I do feel like they're setting us up for a proper clash, because I come back into Brady's orbit because Xander manages to manipulate his way into Basic Black, into working there. And,
yes, I know.
So that drives Brady crazy. As basically, I'm just like, we're crawling around in his business for a little while, but we'll have to see, because I've just received a bunch of scripts that I haven't read yet, so I don't know if I ever get to hit him yet. But yeah, he definitely wants to beat me up, so I think you'll be happy.
Awesome. And my last two questions, well, three questions, and then I'm going to turn it to Nadia. Number one, how was COVID for you? Because you guys were gone for, what, 6 months and not working, correct, over the 5 months? Because you came back later than all the other soaps. You guys came back in September, when most of them came back in July or August. So how long were you guys officially off for?
Yeah, I mean, we finished March 13th, I think. It's Friday the 13th in March, and came back in September. So, you know, it's a good 6 months. For me, it was it was hard for everybody. It was just nice to have a job to come back to. I was nervous and frustrated that the show wouldn't come back, or that it would come back and we'd constantly be forced to shut down because of the, not so much what was going on at work, but just the situation in Los Angeles might have forced us to shut down. And I was in the process of trying to buy a house. So the house purchase was dependent on me having a job. So I was under a lot of stress at the time. And the actual job of Days of Our Lives was kind of in the background compared to the actual stress of the real life things I was trying to do. And then Days of Our Lives just became a very welcome respite and piece of like a return to normalcy, because despite all the COVID protocols and all the testing and everything else, once you actually get on set, it feels very normal again. It's like the before times, it's like before coronavirus. And so I just felt so lucky to have that to go and do and have something that felt so normal and be around other people and be around friends. And then, to be fair, yeah, the other soaps came back a bit sooner, but they did it under very shaky circumstances. And, you know, I saw some clips where people were kissing mannequins, where they were kissing, you know, their husbands or wives that had been brought in to double for the other actors. And it all looked very awkward. And I don't think I would have wanted to work under those circumstances. I'd have been happy to work, don't get me wrong, but that wasn't really the way I wanted to do it. So I was glad that for the first time ever, I was glad that they shot so far in advance and they had all these episodes just sitting in the bank. So we didn't have to come rushing back, and they could sit around and wait and see what the best practice would be for us. And they could retrofit the studio and build their own testing and do all the things that they did. So when we went back, we could just kind of like hit the ground running. As much as the actual COVID break was stressful and depressing, like I'm sure it was and has been and continues to be for many people, for me, it was like an extended vacation. So I felt very fortunate to have the job to go back to.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people, Days of Our Life was mode. And you guys filming 6 months ahead at that time, because all the other soaps were gone by May 30th. And then we would not see a new episode until July or August. So I always thought that 6 months in advance was Days of Our Life saving grace. But on another hand, you know, taping 6 months in advance, you almost cannot remember what you did 6 months ago. I mean, normal people, even actors, I don't think people will remember what they did. But I just think Yeah, incredible. And my last question is, how do you feel about the love of Xander's life leaving Days of Our Life, Lindsay Godfrey? I'm upset about this because you guys have that magic, you know, even though you kind of deceived her part of the time. But you guys have the chemistry. So how is it for you, you know, losing her? I mean, for her not to, you know, that she won't be on the cameras anymore. How are you feeling about that?
Well, I was devastated at the time when we found out, not just because I felt that we had done a pretty good job of making our love story work, despite the fact that they are completely different characters and had no real foundation. You know, when they meet each other, they just, you know, she hated him and he was kind of attracted to her and it was just a bit of a flirt. And then he, you know, managed to, you know, seduce her when she was in a weakened, drunken state. And the writers liked what they saw, and when they brought me back on contract, you know, they made us a romantic couple. But it felt like we had done a pretty good job with challenging material, you know, like, say, the cancer baby, kidnap baby, it's not your baby, you know, all the stuff that they were doing wasn't necessarily conducive to a normal romantic relationship. And I just, you know, I trusted Lindsay a lot. I think she's a exceptionally good actress, especially at the daytime genre, and she had a lot more experience than me, so she could help me through things that I was struggling with. didn't really understand about the storytelling. She could be like, well, they're doing this because, you know, later on they're going to do this and you'll see it'll turn and then we'll be over here and we'll be happy, but then they'll ruin it again. I was like, okay, if you say so. But she was right about everything. So just from a storytelling perspective, it was frustrating for her to leave. But on a personal perspective, I hated it just because it's a pandemic and she's a single mother and she lost her job. And that's, you know, that was a choice. It wasn't a choice that I made. It was a choice that people higher up in the hierarchy of the show made. And I know they don't do it for personal reasons, but it still affects people personally. And so, yeah, it was very difficult. It was very difficult to understand why the decision was made, and it was very difficult to play out the scenes of her leaving because they were very abrupt and in a lot of ways kind of crude. But I still think they did beautiful work with, you know, her being, you know, drubbed by Kristen and all the things that happened with her leaving. I thought the actual acting was gorgeous. I just, yeah, it was very abrupt and hard to do, honestly. But now, to be fair, since she has left, they have given Xander a lot of very fun and crazy. Sorry, there's some crosstalk. I don't know if you can hear me. Can you hear me okay?
That is awesome.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, and okay, I'm going to tune it over to Nadia because I know she has some questions right now.
Yes. Hi, Paul.
Hey,
are
Nadia.
You?
How you doing? How you doing? Apologies again for being late.
That's okay. No problem. You know, stuff happens.
Yeah, I guess.
Unfortunately. But I wanted to say thank you so much for coming on to the show. We do appreciate it. We love having you guys.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So my first question for you is, what do you love and hate about your character you play?
That's a good question. I love that he's unpredictable. I love that he entertains himself, like he finds the fun as much as possible in all his evil that he's up to, or even the good that he's up to. He's always looking, he's mischievous. He's always, you know, looking to get a little angle on everything. I enjoy that. I hate about Xander his lack of follow through, his impulsiveness, his self-sabotage, his constant snatching of defeat from the jaws of victory, you know, like, and we hate in others what we hate in ourselves, and I guess those are things about myself that I don't really like, so it makes sense that they annoy me about Xander too.
Exactly. So what makes a good scene partner? Like, when you have scenes with somebody else, like,
yeah. Well, for me, it's usually, I mean, the main thing is trust, but we don't always have a lot of time to establish that. You kind of have to take it
right.
as read that we trust each other on the show and just kind of go for it. For me, it's about a connection to the live moment. Like, you know, there's, when you act, there's how you want it to go. You know, you conceive of how you'd like the scene to go, how you'd like to say your lines. And then there's how the director wants it to go, and then there's how your scene partner wants it to go. And those things don't necessarily always agree. And so you have to ultimately default to what's happening in the moment when the cameras are rolling in that live, you know, time. What you want from your partner is somebody who can react and improvise and shift on a dime and actually pay attention and listen to what you're doing as you're paying attention and listening to what they're doing, and you let it inform how you're saying the words and how the scene is developing, instead of just insisting that it be this certain way that you rehearsed last night or that, you know, how you wanted it to go. And for the most part, everybody at Days understands that because we shoot so fast that there's no, you know, nitpicking and micromanagement of the performance. So you have to just kind of like go with it almost like it's live television. And at first that was frustrating, and now I love it. Now it's the thing that I really enjoy about the way we shoot our show is the immediacy and the aliveness of it. So that's what I look for from the scene partners, are the people that will wake up and really, like, look you in the eye and just be in the moment with you.
Okay. Will you give us some insight into the process as an actor?
Sure. Slightly more specific insight. Any particular aspect of the acting process or life that you'd like me to elucidate on?
Basically just anything. Like.
Well, I'll tell you about what's different. You know, because I did a lot of stuff before. I didn't do daytime. I didn't want to do daytime. For a long time, I just did, you know, movies, primetime guest stars, the occasional primetime lead, and all kinds of like independent things. And I had been offered Days of Our Lives a few different times over the years, and in fact had almost stepped in for James Scott for a week when he was ill a long time ago, to like just cover for EJ for a week. And then luckily I didn't actually have to perform on screen, but they still paid me anyway. It was one of the best jobs I've ever had. And so that put it in the back of my head that maybe I would enjoy doing daytime. Maybe there was something to get out of it. And so the biggest thing for me, transitioning from an actor who did theater and television and film, where you get lots of rehearsal, lots of takes, lots of opportunities to change the performance, to refine it, to go straight into something where none of that happens and you're basically just, you know, going live, you know, shooting 20 to 50 pages of dialogue a day. The biggest thing for me was just learning to be efficient and, you know, watching John Aniston, watching some of the veterans, how they, you know, not just learnt their lines, but the how they approached their lines, like their relationship to their dialogue. Because a lot of actors, and a lot of actors that have never done daytime, when they hang out with us, folks that do, and they see our scripts, you can see them almost sweating. They go, like, I don't know how you do it. How can you possibly learn all this dialogue and say it so quickly? Like, how does it happen? Mm-hmm. And I always reply, it's like, you know, when you have to, you can. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's a very human thing. Like, when you're forced into a situation, you very often find that you have a capacity to achieve what's required of you. And that was certainly the case for me. That doesn't mean I could do it well, but I could do it. And so as I've been on the show, I hope I've learned how to do it somewhat well. And the real difference for me has been about learning to relax. Like, and it's the biggest shift that I've made as an actor. I used to be very, very serious, and I, you know, like work very, very hard to learn my lines, and I very strong ideas about how the scene would go and things that I wanted to make sure happened and that I did during the scene. And I'd make suggestions to the director and suggestions to the other actors, push. And I'm not like that at all anymore. Now I learn my lines. I make sure I understand the story, like where I am in the story, what Xander's up to, what some of the other characters are trying to get out of Xander. And then I just kind of relax and let it flow. And what occurs to me in rehearsal and what occurs to me as I interact with the other actors becomes the scene, as opposed to me imagining what I want to do and then trying to force that to work. Now I just go with the flow a little bit. And it's all because of some quote that I read from Bill Murray a few years ago, where Bill Murray just said, everything in your life is better when you're relaxed. And he does seem like a very relaxed man, and he's very successful. So I was like, you know what, maybe I should try and relax more. And even though it's a very high-stress environment, a very fast-paced environment at work, I found the more relaxed I am, the better I am at literally every aspect of it. So that's my little window into the actor's life, is that you spend so much of your preparation, so much of your training as an actor, trying to change who you are or learn how to change who you are on demand. And the older I'm getting, the more I realize that it was good that I learned how to do all of that, but now I have to let it go and just relax more and just allow things to flow through the prism of my training and my personality and my charisma or whatever, and just get out of the way of it a little bit. And the more I'm around the veterans on our show, the more I realize that that's what they do so well, and it's why they're able to do it for such a long amount of time and not go crazy, I think. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So what is the biggest challenge taking on your role?
Well, for me, I don't know if it's just a Xander thing. It might be more acute with a villain or a villain like Xander who is occasionally good. But the biggest challenge for me and the biggest ongoing challenge for this kind of work for me has been, you know, typically when you take an acting job, you know more or less everything that you need to know. You know the character's history, you know the beginning, middle, and end of the story, and you tell it. Whereas on daytime, that's not the case. You know, you get a vague sense of who the character is, and then you sign a 1, 2, 3 year contract, and then you're thrown at the show, and you learn about the character as you're doing it, as they make it up in front of you, and, you know, still they're revealing little new things about Xander or not so much stuff about his history, but certainly about his character. He's some of the scenes that I've shot since the Sarah character left are allowing him to open up in other ways, in other new, unexpected ways. And that's lovely. I enjoy it. I like that he's constantly growing and changing. But it is a difficult thing as an actor, because what we're trying to do typically is etch out the emotional shape of a character, right? I mean, the writers write the lines. We say the lines that are written for us. The directors, you know, shape our performances and try and get us to do things in a certain way. But ultimately, the emotional life of the character is the actor's responsibility. And that can be a bit tricky sometimes when you don't know where you're headed. Like, you know, if you're only getting 2 or if you're very lucky, 3 weeks advance knowledge of where the story is going. Like, for instance, during the whole Mickey storyline, like, if I had known early on all of the things that were going to happen with Mickey, that Mickey was going to get kidnapped, that Mickey was going to get sick, that Mickey was not going to be Sarah's shot, you know, all, you know, that was revealed to me only slightly before it was revealed to the audience. I had already played scenes where Xander would have known that he had switched the babies, but Paul didn't know that Xander had done that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So that can be a bit tricky sometimes, where you just feel like, if I'd had the info, I might have played that slightly differently. It doesn't make a big difference, but it kind of does to me and where I feel I am in the emotional journey of the character, if you know what I mean. So that can be a little bit frustrating and difficult sometimes. But again, the more I relax and the more I just go with the flow, the better it all seems to work. So again, that's what I'm trying to learn.
Right. And my last question is, what is your greatest strength as an actor?
Oh, well, I don't know if I'm the person to ask that. You should maybe ask some of my scene partners. But I would say from what... I'm not going to say so much what the other actors have said to me, but what the crew keep telling me is that I'm quite consistent on my lines. Like, for the most part, I have a very good command of my dialogue walking onto set, which allows me, because I'm not reaching for it, I'm not thinking about my lines, I'm not worried if I don't know them, it allows me to just have a bit more authority when I speak. And I can take a bit more time in a scene because I'm not wasting time worrying about what my next line is. I can really, like, concentrate on my effect on the other actor. So I would say probably that is that I'm solid. I'm a solid actor.
Perfect.
But that wasn't always the case. That's a relatively recent development.
Right. Well, thank you so much for answering my questions. I'm going to turn it over back to Carly because we do have more callers.
We do. Okay, so I'm going to take my Muggus. I mean, Muggus. Hey, Muggus.
Marcos.
Marcos. Yes. Sorry, my brain's gone. You on the air with Austin Paul?
Hi, Marcus. How you doing?
Good. Yourself? Nice to talk to you again.
And you?
You're one of my favorite interviews last year.
Good to hear it.
Nice, nice. And I love talking to you about the Green Rush movie. What was that like for you? Can you tell them?
I'm very proud of Green Rush. It was a great change, obviously, from doing... Days of Our Lives was the biggest reason I wanted to do it at the time that I did it. I had been coming off a long period of intermittent recurring on days where I wasn't on contract, but I was working a lot, which I was very grateful for. But it's a very particular way of making television that we do at Days of Our Lives. And I really missed shooting movies. And so it was really nice to just go away with my friends with a little bit of money and just tell a story all by ourselves in exactly the way we wanted to do it. It was also really satisfying to write my own dialogue for a change instead of having to work with the, you know, the dialogue that we work with at Days of Our Lives, which is excellent and, you know, very fun, and but it is of a specific style, and that style isn't particularly naturalistic because it's a soap opera. So it was nice to go and do a different kind of style of dialogue, a different style of acting. It was all just a bit more natural, a bit more grounded. But then also, and this is the most important part, it wasn't daytime. It was R-rated. Do you know what I mean? We could just be a bit unleashed. And so a lot of the things that I like about... yeah, a lot of the things that I like about playing Xander, you know, how dangerous he is and how kind of violent he can be, it's also frustrating because he very rarely gets to really act on that stuff because it's daytime. You can't see him do all the things that he would probably want to do because, you know, standards and practices, whereas all of that was taken away on my movie and I could just make him as crazy as I wanted to. So that was very satisfying and cathartic.
And this July, you'll be at Eric and Brian DeTillo's birthday in Montreal. What can people expect?
I hope so. That's not confirmed yet, just because I have issues. I'm from the UK and I'm living in America right now, but I have passport issues right now because of COVID. I need to get my passport renewed from the UK, and it's taking a very long time. So I might not be able to make the Montreal trip just because it involves crossing an international border. But fingers crossed I can, because that would be a lot of fun.
Hey, thank you so much, Paul.
Oh, thank you. Good talk to you, Marcus.
Oh, thank you.
Bye.
And
thank you, Carly and Nadia. Bye, ladies.
Yeah,
thank you,
and you.
Bye.
Yeah, and you're welcome anytime, you know that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a great day. Okay. Now we are going to Betty Zine.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, how you doing?
Nadia. Hi, Carly. Hi, Paul. We've talked several times before. Big fan of yours. Cannot wait to see you next month at Samantha's Friends. Marcos kind of took my question. I'm a big fan of Green Rush. We've talked about this before. I'm a big fan of it. I like the dark, and how appropriate today's 420. I like Ticker. I like the dark. I like the macabre. You said you wrote your character. What's the chance of us seeing a little bit more of Ticker's backstory?
Well, we actually did talk about it with the producers. I was very fortunate because, you know, the idea behind the film, the premise of the film, was kind of handed to us by the producers. Like they had this farm, this location that they would give to us for free if we could shoot within a certain amount of time there. And it just made sense to tell the story that we were going to tell. But the character of Ticker kind of just developed over the course of writing the script. Because I knew I was going to play him, I kind of left him to the end in a lot of ways. I wrote the whole script with another guy called Danny Acosta, and then we both worked with the director that we knew was going to shoot the film to kind of edit it as we went. And so Ticker really changed throughout the whole process. Originally, he was like from Texas and was a very different kind of like macho kind of OTT character. And as we were like doing like a second and third pass on the script, as we were getting closer and closer to shooting, it was the director's idea that no, we should make him Scottish, make him like somebody from outside of this world that like comes into it. It will seem more like invasive and more just strange. It will give him this like extra dimension, and which I totally agreed with. But then once we were playing with that, it just seemed to make sense to make him more sexual as well, like because he'd been in prison and because, you know, now he was like let loose in the wild, maybe he'd start, you know, just being very predatory with everybody, not just with women, but with the men as well. And so that shift, that was what kind of made him interesting. But also when the film was actually in the can, we didn't realize just how much it made Ticker kind of like, not the star of the movie, he's not the lead of the movie, but he definitely does draw a lot of the attention because he's surprising. You know, like you don't expect him to be, you know, molesting men and women and, you know, doing these like self-sabotaging, impulsive things that he does just because, you know, he can't help himself. And
yeah,
so for me,
I just
meant to say, like, for me, it did seem like there was a lot you could do to unpick why he is the way he is. And so we talked about maybe doing it because we could do another relatively inexpensive film set in prison. There are prison sets that you can go and, you know, shoot in that aren't crazy expensive. And so I kind of like the idea of doing a kind of almost like a prequel, where we could, you know, build that relationship between him and Lex's character, Swift, and why they are the way that they are, and what got Ticker in prison in the first place. And the main thing was, you know, I know he looked pretty dead at the end of the movie, but it's a movie, and, you know, people can survive all kinds of things. So I wouldn't mind doing another one where Ticker, you know, he's got a big scar in his neck and a big scar in his chest, and he's got a scratchy voice, but he's still alive. Do you know what I mean? Doing some other terrible thing.
The ending itself was quite surprising, so...
Right.
That would just like put a great twist to it. I mean, I totally did not expect the ending that was the ending. So, you know,
okay,
anything that Ticker comes out and does from here on out, I'll totally support it.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, I mean,
I'm
like
totally
the idea.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I kind of like the idea, you know, if we can, you know, look, it's just very hard to get movies made, especially right now. But if there were an opportunity to return to Ticker, I would jump at it 100%. And part of what I kind of like is the idea of making him, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to make total sense that each film that Ticker is in connects. You know, it could almost be like the Man with No Name, you know, like the Clint Eastwood films,
mm-hmm.
where they're kind of like loosely connected, but with this same character that moves through them. And I think Ticker would be good in that, because then you could have him in different kinds of genres, doing different kinds of things, but always being this chaotic, dangerous, like, sexual element. It could be really fun, but, you know.
I could see it. I could see it happening. And like I said, I do look forward to seeing you next month at Samantha's Friends. There shouldn't be any passport problems for you with that.
That's right. Florida's still, you know, it's still part of the U.S., as far as I know, yeah.
That event just happens to be on my birthday, so I'm really looking forward to being there. So
well,
it was great talking to you again. I can't wait to see you next month. So thank you very much for your time.
Looking forward to it, and happy early birthday.
Thank you.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Carly.
You know, you're welcome back anytime. So let's see.
Yes.
Anytime.
Thank you,
Betty. Thank you,
Nadia. See you.
Okay, so we're going to where else did we go? Block number, you want me to... you on the air?
Hello?
Okay, they don't want to talk to us. Okay, let's go to 204. You on the air?
Hi, Carly. It's Alan from Canada. How are you today?
Oh, good. What's your question for Paul?
Paul, my name is Alan. I'm calling from Winnipeg, Manitoba. I'm a big fan. Just curious a couple things. I'll try and keep it just three quick questions I just had in my head. One, just wanted to know if you were given, your agents came to you and they said, there's two movies we were looking, eyeing you for. One is Bond and the other one is playing Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. Which one would you choose?
Hi, Alan. That's a great question. I would choose Bond. Yeah. I can't play guitar at all. That would be a good excuse for me to go and learn how to play a little bit of guitar, but I think they'd need to use, like, CGI to make my fingers move that fast. Whereas, yeah, Bond is easy. Just put me in a suit, give me a gun, like, I could do that in my sleep and get paid millions of dollars. Yeah, I would do Bond in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I could actually totally see you doing that. I'm not just saying that because of your UK background. And what was it like growing up in the UK?
I mean, well, I bounced around a lot. I was born in Scotland and then raised partially in Scotland and partially in the north of England. And then we moved back to Scotland and spent a lot more time there and then back down to England. So I feel very British. Like, I did get a full, you know, portion of a British upbringing and just feel lucky, honestly, to have had the experience that I did growing up where I grew up. It was a very safe, healthy environment to grow up in. But I always wanted to come to America. I always saw America as the place where I wanted to, you know, have my career and my future. So now it's nice to live in this place that is quite similar to the United Kingdom, but in many ways so completely different. And to be a little bit foreign, to be a little bit of an alien, but not so much that people can't understand what I'm saying or what I'm about. I feel, you know, lucky. I'm not necessarily proud to be British. I feel lucky to be British.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I love the British music, especially the British 60s and 70s music.
Oh, yeah.
What type of music do you, like, lean towards? Do you lean towards modern stuff or you're all over the place or...?
I'm very much all over the place. My first real love of music was rock music. You kind of inherit your parents' tastes a little bit. You're like the music you're surrounded by as a child. And, you know, my dad and my mom, they love listening to Paul Simon and Elton John and the Carpenters and people like that. So I grew up, you know, at least knowing what good music was. And then I got really into, like, rock and heavy metal when I was a teenager. I loved grunge. I loved, proper, like, hard rock, like Guns N' Roses, all that stuff. And it was only in my – and hip-hop I liked a lot in the 90s. And then it was only as I got older that my – you know, into my 20s that my musical taste – that I'd even describe myself as having music. I think I had quite bad taste in music until I was in my 20s. And then once I was in my 20s, I started to really – expand and understand jazz and understand the blues and understand orchestral music, classical music, and just now it's funny now because we the main way we listen to music at home is through our Amazon devices, like, you know, Alexa or whatever. And if we say, Alexa, play my music, we have no idea what it's going to do because it's such a broad spectrum. It, like, could be like weird 80s synthwave, or it could be like Stravinsky, or it could be Django Reinhardt. Like, it's just, yeah. And that's not to say that we're crazy eclectic, but between us, my wife was a trained opera singer and a jazz singer, and now she does a lot of, like, really high-level musical theater. So between the two of us, like, we have very diverse tastes in music. So sorry for that sprawling answer, but, yeah, all sorts.
My last question is, I'm just kind of curious, sort of a two-part. Do you think your wife would ever come on Days of Our Lives for a short stint? And what do you think about Xander getting together with Emily O'Brien's character, Gwen?
Oh, those are excellent questions. Well, I would love it if Carmen came on the show. She's just terrified of all the dialogue. Like, she's always like, I could never learn all that in time. There's no way I could learn all those words. So that would be fun to try and coach her through. I think she'd be fantastic at it, but she refuses to believe me. And yeah, I actually think Xander and Gwen, look, I mean, I know I'll anger all the people that are still reeling from the destruction of Xander and Sarah, but if Xander is to be single and not just like pining, you know, looking out the window, wishing Sarah came back, if he is to have a romantic life in the near term, then Gwen seems like a really good candidate because, you know, she's a bit gray, she's a bit evil herself, a bit misunderstood.
Yeah.
She's gorgeous. She's British. You know, it does make sense that they would, like, you know, possibly be attracted to each other. So, yeah, I think that's a good spot.
Great. Thanks. Love talking to you, and I'm thinking I'm crossing my fingers that you're the new James Bond in the next reboot of James Bond whenever it comes out. Cheers.
Well, I appreciate it, buddy. Yeah, that would be lovely. Cheers.
Thanks.
Good talking to you.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Okay, so let's see. Who do we have now? 917, you're on the air. 917. Okay, they just want to listen. Wait. 917, you're on the air. Okay, they definitely want to listen. Bobby is next. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I wanted to say, first off, Alan stole my idea of possibly Xander hooking up with Gwen, but I think Xander would be better off with Nicole.
Yes.
I mean, I am seeing some chemistry between you and Ari.
The classic romance. Yes.
I am seeing some chemistry between you and Ari because... Because unless Lindsay decides to come back or they recast Sarah, I don't see a possible reunion between Sarah and Xander anytime soon. But I do wish Lindsay the best of luck in whatever she has to do, whether she gets another soap or a primetime show or another movie on Lifetime or Hallmark. But whatever the case may be, I just wish her the best of luck.
Me too.
But
I agree with you, man. Like, you know, Xander was originally brought on to be angst for Nicole and Daniel and Eric and all of that. So, yeah, I would love to slip back into some of that drama because, you know, he's quite different now. You know, there's been some water under the bridge. You know, Xander's done some different things and he's a slightly different person. You know, he's shown that he can occasionally do good things, even if it's for bad reasons or bad things for good reasons. You know, he's shown those new colors. So why not see if any of it works on Nicole?
Yeah. I mean, besides, Nicole hasn't done anything bad that would get her in trouble or would have the fans or viewers hate her in 10 years. I can understand that being perfect because she's been redeemed just like Sammy. And Xander is definitely being redeemed right now. I mean, as long as he doesn't cause any more trouble because we already have Gabby and we already have Gwen as the troublemakers and Sarah and Salem. So I don't think Xander wants to be on the most wanted list by everybody in Salem.
But, probably not, yeah.
But I can see maybe possibly more chemistry between Nicole and Xander because I've been watching on and off, but stopped watching after they've been breaking news about coming from Washington when Trump was president. So, because I was like, I can't get through 5 minutes of Days without Trump, who's been on Days before.
Yeah,
by the way, started the whole thing with Ariana Zucker in the first place.
Right.
I mean, I can't, but
very
it's a new day and a new president, so hopefully, unless we have any more problems coming, updates from Minneapolis coming up in the next few weeks that might go the wrong way, then I'm sure that we will probably have Days on the regular time and regular schedule without me calling the station asking what channel is the alternate channel that's showing Days. Because I've got nothing but the trial yesterday, and Lord knows what's going to happen if the verdict is not guilty and what's going to happen in Minneapolis and the rest of the country.
You know, it's going to blow up, for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's always the app. You can always watch it on the Peacock app.
And I can watch it on the NBC app for a while until it goes on Peacock because I can catch up on there on the NBC app because I don't have the money to subscribe to Peacock to stream and watch my favorite shows, you know, from NBC or old shows like the U.S. Office on Peacock, like I wanted to when I had Netflix. But anyways, it's been great talking to you, and I'll just let Carly and bring on the next caller, and you're welcome back anytime. You're welcome back anytime.
All right, cheers. Great, great.
And one more thing, Carly, before I let you talk to get Brock on, if you can get Lindsay Godfrey on the show, that would be awesome. Hello?
Paul?
No. I'm just, no. Paul, are you there?
I'm still here.
Oh, you're there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, well, here.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to say to Paul, so you can just move on to the next caller.
Okay. Let's see. We have the wrong guy is the last caller. Hey, B.
Hi, Carly. Hi, Nadia. Hi, Paul. My name is Veronica Robles. I'm calling from Houston, Texas. How are you guys today?
Good to hear
good,
from
you.
You have such a lovely, clear line. I can hear everything you're saying. It's fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate this tremendously. And I just want to say I'm a huge fan of your character, Xander. He is so funny. And I'm just one of the best characters on the show. I like that he has both the good side and the bad side because, you know, and he's determined to not let nobody mess with him. That's what I like about your character on the show.
Thank you. That's what I like about him as well. Like, you know, he is a bad person, but he doesn't necessarily want to be a bad person.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's nasty and he's mean, but he does have a sense of humor, which takes the edge off of how nasty and mean he is.
Yeah.
So that makes him a lot of fun to play because I can be saying the most horrible things to these other actors. You know, the people that work on our show are lovely.
Yeah.
Like, they're such sweet people. And then
yeah.
I have to say such nasty things to them, like looking them right in the eye and being all
oh,
yeah. that, you know what I mean? So it's nice that he can at least have a little bit of a glint or a wink in his eye, you know, while he's doing it, so it doesn't
yeah.
have to be quite so mean. So, yeah,
I
do appreciate
heart,
you like that.
Definitely. He's, your character, Xander, he has a good heart. I mean, tremendously. I mean, Xander's, you know, I like that your character Xander's trying to make it in this world, and even if, you know, people are mean, he's still going to keep going, and I love that about your character Xander. And my question is, you started on one of my favorite TV shows, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What was those memories like working on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
It's funny, I was just talking about that the other day. So Henry Simmons is on that show. Do you know him? Yeah. So a million years ago, he and I did a miniseries of Spartacus together.
Oh, yeah.
And became good close friends. And when I first came out to L.A., I stayed at his house. Like, it was my very first trip to L.A., I stayed with Henry. And we fell out of touch, not because we stopped being friends, but just he was engaged and I was engaged and I was back in the U.K. And we just went a few years without seeing each other and just got out of the habit of communicating.
Yeah.
And then just the other day, I got a text from him saying, Paul, you were on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I was like, yeah. And he's just like, I'm on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I was like, yeah. And so I was telling him that it was funny because when I got the job, I knew that Henry was on it. But I also knew that my character wasn't going to interact with him at all. And then, unfortunately, on the weeks, where, you know, the week and a half that I was shooting on the show, we were never on set at the same day, so I didn't have the opportunity to, like, bump into him and catch up with him like I hoped I would. But what was crazy about it was, if you remember, if you've seen the episode, you'll remember that I have, like, a crazy hairdo in it. I have, like, a mohawk with it, like, shaved the size of my head. I've got a tattoo on my head and everything.
No, you did a wonderful job on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I love the series,
and
I'm glad that, you know, you were on there. You got to do an episode on there, and that you did a wonderful job. Tremendously.
Well, thank you. It's just there's a funny bit of trivia because the woman, the hair and makeup person at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that shaved my head that way and set it up for the tattoo and everything is the daughter of Susan and Doug Hayes.
Oh, wow.
From Days of Our Lives. It was just a crazy coincidence. Like, I sat down and I was off contract at the time. I was working a lot on Days of Our Lives, but I wasn't contracted, so I could do whatever I wanted. You know, if I got a guest star, I could go and do it. If I wanted to make a movie, I could go and do it. So I was on their set, on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I sat down, and she was like, and I had really long hair at the time. I'd like, you know, I was growing it out. She was like, well, I know you've got long hair, but we were really hoping we could shave the sides of it. And I was like, oh, well, I had been hoping to grow it, but this is a cool job, and I want it to look cool, and I want you guys to be happy. So, yeah, let's go ahead and shave it, but it will piss off my day job. And they're like,
oh, yeah.
Wait, what's your day job? And I was like, oh, it's my little joke. It's what I call my soap opera that I'm on. And she was like, oh, what soap opera you're on? I was like, Days Are Alive. And she was like, oh, that's my mom and dad's show. And I was like, oh, they're big. I was like, oh, they're big fans. They've been watching it for a long time. She goes, no, they're Doug and Julie. And I was like, what? And
oh,
it was
wow.
crazy. They're like, yeah. So it's a really cool little, you know, the, it shows you how small the industry actually is and what a small town LA actually is. For people that
yeah,
are working
that's,
in,
that's,
in the
that's
biz.
That's pretty amazing. And then that's a small...
But
that,
it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also have one more question before I let you go. Will Xander find... Your character, Xander, will he find out what Kristen did to Sarah? Is that in the works?
So, I don't know if everybody's seen the specific episodes of when, you know, Xander confronts Sarah after he walks in on her and Rex together. And
yeah.
you can see from the way he's... The way Xander is behaving, that he just does not believe what is happening. He keeps saying
yeah.
over and over again, I don't believe this is happening. There's no way you would do this. You wouldn't do this to me. You wouldn't do this to me with Rex, of all people. Like, no. And I'm even playing, like, you'll see me, if you rewatch those scenes, you'll see me looking her up and down and looking behind her neck
yeah.
to see if there's,
yeah.
like, a mask line or anything, just because I was having such a hard time with the storyline.
Yeah.
Because... It was so confusing to me as an actor playing Xander that,
yeah.
you know, Xander knows Kristen. Xander was involved in the mask plot when she was pretending to be Nicole.
Yeah.
Xander has only ever met Susan Banks when...
Yeah.
Xander has never met Susan Banks. He has only
yeah.
met Kristen pretending to be Susan Banks.
Yeah.
So the fact that it was Susan Banks that told him to go to the Brady Pub to find Sarah with Rex, and all these are all just massive red flags to
yeah.
Xander that I, as an actor, was
yeah.
specifically asked to ignore. And the reason I was asked to ignore them was that, no, this is what we're doing right now, but I promise you, we promise you, he will work out what is going on later. But we need you to play dumb right now. Not dumb, but just not see everything that you should see. And then down the line, he will
yeah.
work it out. So I do hope that is the plan. That they're going to let Xander, you know, just have some freedom for a bit and run around and do some naughty things and some funny things and so on.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
Things.
Yeah, because, like, it's very important for you. You got to keep working, and I understand. But I hope they do resolve that, you know, so your character, Xander, he can, you know, finally know that it was that this situation. And I hope the writers will go ahead and have that resolved later on down the line.
I really do think they will, and the more I think about it, the more I understand, even though it's painful and cruel, you know,
yeah.
the way it all works, not just cruel to the actors that lose their jobs, but also to the audience that cares about those actors or cares about those storylines.
Yeah.
But even though all that is true and it does suck, I do think on the other end, it would, like, especially because I know a little bit about what's happening to Xander right now, because, you know, we're a couple months ahead of what's airing. When Sarah does return, there will be so much drama and angst for us to play out because of what Xander's been up to in the meantime. But I think
yes.
it will only make things even better. So that's my hope, is that
yeah,
we have fun
I'm
in the meantime.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed that happens. But thank you so much, Paul, for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. And please come back when you have other projects coming up. You know, and we really, really appreciate this. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Thank you.
B, I will put you on hold for a minute. So, Nadia, yeah, Nadia and I want you to know you always welcome back anytime. And, you know, you can always bring the Kiriakis men with you. So you won't feel alone.
Yes, that would be
cool
awesome.
To be having Xander Brady and Dustin on one, so I still think that's a cool idea. And I just have one comment before.
Awesome.
Yeah, I have one comment before we go. My grandma has been watching Dave since day one. So I just want you to know she has a love and hate relationship with you. Some days she loves
that's the
you.
Idea. That's what I want. I want both. I want love
you.
And hate.
And some days she wants to strangle you. But she's totally a big fan of yours, and I try having her call in, but she's 93 inside. So, yeah, I would say that because she loves all of you guys, you know, on days when we were growing up. We could either walk the show with her or we would have to go play outside until your days was over because she was not going to miss a moment of her soap.
Lovely. Well, I'm glad that she loves and hates me. I only give her my love. I won't give her any of my hate. How about that?
Yeah, well, yeah. And thank you so much for calling in. And please come back. Please come back.
Okay. Well, thank
yes.
you so much for having me. And apologies again for being late. But I'm glad I got it working in the end. And it was lovely talking to you.
Okay. Awesome. Have a great
call.
Day.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Take care.
Thanks, Elliot. Thanks, Carly. Cheers.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, did he say he would have wanted to come back?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, you guys. Wonderful
okay,
show.
And,
thank you so much.
Hi.
Of course. And
hi, Carly. Hi, Nadia. Hi, Bobby.
Hello?
Hi, Bobby.
Hey.
Yes, you're
hey,
here, Bobby.
Is everyone on here?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
And Belonga,
okay.
You're on, right?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So, great interview.
Loved it. And like I was saying earlier, and I have a couple of suggestions of possible guests. And I was thinking maybe if there's a chance, you can probably get the temporary recast Amanda on from Young and Restless on the show, Carla Moseley, because I've been wanting her to be on the show since she was on Bold and Beautiful, and I requested it to you and the other hosts in the past to see if they would get in touch with her.
Okay, we will see Carla Moseley, right?
Amanda on
Young
and Restless, formerly Maya on Bold and Beautiful.
Yep, and all I gotta say
and also it'd be great to just get Lindsay Godfrey on the show because maybe we can just ask what she's doing and if she's gonna come back or whatever whenever she has time.
Yeah, and before we go, I want to say that my Amazon shopping has got to stop, everyone. I'm out of control.
Why?
It's not my fault.
Why? What happened?
Well, I keep buying things.
That's okay. I do it too.
I mean, what? And good news, you guys, there's looking to be a first stimulus package coming, and it might be, Nadia, how did you say when things are going to come, like, every month or every 2 months? What is that name called? My brain, I can't think of that word, but... You know, they are trying to pass it, but we will get a similar check every month or two.
Recurring.
Yes. Yep. So we might get that. And we are also waiting news on the trial. And Zeus, if you love me, LL, please, for the love of God, do not break into things for me with, a news bulletin. I do not want to deal with that today.
Yeah.
And, I didn't even know it was on yesterday until I went on the GH Facebook page and saw the viewers' post.
And also there was a accident that happened in New York City too.
I think it was a shooting. I just saw that, but I don't know if it preempted or interrupted General Hospital in New York City. But I'm going to check.
Why? Can I shoot myself?
No, don't do that. There's some crazy people, I know.
The jury has reached a verdict in the trial. So the verdict will read aloud in quotes between 4:30 Eastern Time and 5 Eastern Time. So what time would that be for you? Anyone?
Well, all I know is they better not break into Young and Restless in North Carolina.
I'm asking Nadia.
They can break into any news unless it's whether or an important story.
I'm asking Nadia, Bobby. So if the verdict is going to be read in code between 4:30 and 5 Eastern, that means 1:30 or 2, doesn't it? My time, right?
4:30, 5 o'clock, you said?
Yeah, it says it was something on like 4:30 to 5 Eastern time.
Okay, so you do 4:30, 3:30, 2:30, 1:30 your time.
Okay, I swear if they break into the new hospital for, and do the verdict then, I think all of you are going to hear my scream from Seattle.
Well, please text me and let me know if it was on the title of your day or not by then, because I think we got it right here. I'm more concerned about Young and Restless being on its entirety or what the news has to say, especially if it's on whether or an important story
Bobby,
I want to hear and they break in for that.
Bobby, no matter how the verdict comes down, if the verdict is not guilty, we are going to be looking at another LA riot. You guys, I know Veronica and Nadia were pretty young when the LA riots happened, right, you guys?
Yeah, I was very young. I was very young, and I totally agree with you, Carly.
Okay,
there is a possibility. If it comes out not guilty, it's not going to look good.
Yeah, and they also got to deal with this kind of situation with another cop in Minneapolis,
Bobby,
and with that cop that shot the 13-year-old in Chicago.
Bobby, remember we go into a Carly in thought.
I'm sorry, Carly.
Okay, so if they come back guilty, I think we're safe. But if they come back not guilty, they always have voted things down. Downtown Seattle, they have voted up stuff in Portland, Oregon, where I grew up. So you guys get ready for whatever is about to happen, because if it goes guilty, then I don't think we have anything to worry about. But if we don't not guilty, we will be seen. I'm sorry for this in a nice way.
I'll say it for you. All hell's going to break loose.
Yeah, all hell's going to break loose. So,
yeah.
And, you know, but
I do want to say one thing, Carly. Even if the drug is guilty, we still have to deal with another Minnesota cop that shot that guy last week and the one in Chicago that shot that kid. So.
Yeah.
Maggie might be in a little bit of trouble in Chicago if that verdict come out not guilty, because I've seen the video of the shooting in Chicago with that 13-year-old. So I'm a little bit concerned about Maggie, both with this one and the other one in Minnesota and the one in Chicago.
Yep, and all I'm going to say before we go, well, Nadia, tell everyone we have this week next.
So for we're off tomorrow. For now. You never know. Stuff might pop up.
Yeah, for now. You
for
never
now.
Know with us.
Exactly. And then Thursday we have Jacob Young. And
what
then
time
on. I don't know. Let's see. Hold on 1 second. I'll look and see. My mind. We have Jacob Young at, so it's noontime for Carly.
3 o'clock.
So then, so yes, for us. So it'll be 3 o'clock for us, yes.
What about me?
Okay.
2 o'clock
that
for you.
Two.
Okay, two for me.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, my uncle was right when he said, my uncle was right when he said that the time difference should just go. He is so sick of it. He lives in Florida, and so when he calls, like any of us, he's been calling my grandmother at 5 in the morning, and I'm screaming at him because she needs to sleep. So, and it's like a hot meal. So he thinks it's perfectly normal. So, yes. So, everyone did a great job today.
Yay!
Veronica, I am so happy that you put the cover on your thing. Bobby, I will send you the cover.
Thank you, guys.
We didn't finish who we have.
Oh.
Who's Friday?
We got on Friday.
Sorry, Nadia.
On Friday we have Lawrence Law.
That is awesome.
All my children. Yeah.
Oh, what time is that?
That is going to be. Hold on. My mind. He's going to be at noontime as well.
Okay.
Oh, that is awesome.
So no nighttime shows this week.
Right, no.
Okay.
Not yet anyway.
All right.
Hey, that's okay.
So we have, so basically we have like an awesome... We come here, everyone, and just remember, take a little time, enjoy the view, and just remember, Carly is in the hottest weather we've been in April in 20 years.
Okay.
So, yes. So, this, you know. So, yes, thank you, everyone, and... I will be downloading tonight's episode tonight.
Okay.
And so, and if we end up having someone on tomorrow, we will let you guys know. Don't worry.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, guys. Wonderful episode. Thank you.
All right.
Okay,
have a good
bye
night.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.